Hello, and welcome to the next edition of MDD's Claims Interviews. Today in the hot seat, we have Paul Lewis from Herbert Smith Freehills. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Barry.
I've been looking forward to this one, Paul. I'm sure you're going to have some great insights. I'm really looking forward to digging under the cover and finding out some of your darkest secrets. So let's see how we get on. So we'll start where we always start. Tell me, how did you come to be in the insurance industry?
Okay, well, we're not starting on a particular exciting note there, Barry. So I studied law at university. I then did law school for a year and then had 2 years at what was then called Herbert Smith as a trainee solicitor, albeit we were called article clerks back then. And we did 6 months in a rotation around the office. And one of my seats was in what was called then the insurance litigation team. I really enjoyed the sort of work and I enjoyed the fact that it had a real industry sector focus. And so I applied to qualify there. And that really is where I've been since, Barry. So that was, I qualified back in 1994, which is quite scary to think that that was 28 years ago now. But
so tell me, when you went to university, what did you study?
Well, I studied straight law. It was quite interesting because when I was reading and studying law, obviously what you do is you read about cases. I mean, that's how the English system is, a what they call a precedent-based system. So I spent my time reading judgments. And to me, that was what real law was about. It was getting into court and arguing about meaning of contracts or scopes of duties in tort or whatever. So when I was thinking, what am I going to do with my career? I actually wanted to go to a firm that was really focused on disputes. And that's back then, and I would say still today, obviously, Herbert Smith, now Herbert Smith Freehills, was a leading brand in that area. And so it was really as straightforward as that. You might say not very original since, having kept doing the same thing. But, you know, my view was always, if you fool someone enough to make them employ you, then why risk it by trying to actually then go somewhere else?
You know what? It's so refreshing to meet a lawyer who actually studied law at university. Most of the lawyers I meet tell me that they were studying something completely different and they sort of fell into law. So how about that? Someone who actually wanted to do it in the first place.
That's remarkable. And someone who wanted to litigate. I know, quite odd.
And how well you've done. So tell us about your role at Herbert Smith Freehill.
Well, I'm the senior partner in the disputes division, and that disputes division has 8 groups. One of those groups is focused on insurance and professional risks. So that would cover the whole range of coverage work, also defending professionals, regulatory work around professional conduct. And we also do health and safety and product liability work in the group. And I've had the honour of leading that since 2015. So that's sort of 8 years led the group. I've decided, I think, that 8 years of one leadership voice is enough. So in fact, I'm going to hand over the reins on the 1st of May 2023, which is a bit of a scoop for you, Barry. And a gentleman who you know very well called Alex Oddy is going to, in fact, take over running the group from the 1st of May. I will, however, remain a partner and servicing my clients.
Cool. Well, I'm sure that's really important because, you know, in the marketplace, you have a great reputation and I'm sure you'll remain very important to Herbert Smith's proposition. I'm sure of that. So tell me, in your role, and for anyone who's in that role, what do you see as the biggest challenges?
Well, I don't have to tell any of you or your listeners that it's been a crazy few years. And, you know, our challenges, I don't think, are really different to what everyone else is. We are now trying to make hybrid working work. And obviously, when one's operating a very high performance team and a high performance team culture, the challenge is obviously one, doing that through lockdown are significant. But even now, post-lockdown, as I say, the hybrid working, the connectivity that you have to service clients at the highest level, that brings with it a real challenge. And of course, the global geopolitical position and COVID and the economic instability at the same time has given rise, obviously, to challenges to our clients and therefore pressure on the insurance industry at the high-end claims function, which is where we operate. And it means that you've got a challenging working environment and very challenging matters to deal with.
Okay. So you're in a leadership role. I've told you you've got a great reputation, but, you know, tell me, what do you really enjoy about being a leader?
Look, I think leaders are different and different styles, different skills. I think I'm lucky in a way because I've only got about 40 or so people in my team. And so I really try and spend a lot of my time trying to work out what motivates people as individuals. And I think if you've got a team of 40 people, all of whom have done incredibly well academically, are ambitious, are successful, then actually how you get the best out of them as individuals means you have to really get to know them as individuals. And that's what I spent. I'm very much a people person. I try and also make sure that we've got a really clear idea of the direction of the group, because I think if people understand why things are happening and investments being made in particular areas, people are more likely to come with you on that journey. But very much trying to make sure that people consider themselves an important individual within the team, be it whether they first started or whether they've been a partner for 10, 15 years. It's really trying to make sure what motivates them, because any of us have a choice. If you're operating, be it a market-leading insurance company or a market-leading broker or a market-leading law firm, we all have a choice to be there. And obviously, I want to create a stable, motivated team. And that's what I enjoy. I enjoy getting to know people.
And you enjoy being competitive. I know that firsthand.
I do enjoy being competitive. And obviously, what attracted me towards disputes was also that competition. You know, it's not always necessarily a fight in that clients want different things from their disputes lawyers. Some clients, there isn't a choice but to end up in a sort of courtroom battle. But actually, most clients want a way out and a compromise. But it's still a competitive environment in that obviously what you're trying to do is achieve the best outcome you can for clients.
Cool. Tell me, where do you think Herbert Smith Freehill offer most value?
Well, that's an easy one. I think, look, we really are there for the most difficult, complex, quite often high value matters, Barry. As I said, we sit in the disputes team at Herbert Smith, and therefore we have access to all of the resource that the firm's invested for many, many years to the resolving of high-end disputes. And we can bring that to bear in relation to the matters that we handle. You know, we have a team of what we call our alternative legal function that's offshore. And literally we have people working 24 hours a day on document management issues. We invest heavily in technology, and we obviously invest heavily in recruiting the right people as trainees. And we don't shy away from the fact that we're really there to do the complex, difficult, often high value, often multi-jurisdictional type of matter. You know, we're just not set up to do large volume type work, Barry. We're there to do the higher value, more complex work.
Cool. So I'm already a convert, but if there was one thing you'd like to tell a prospective client about Herbert Smith Freehills, what would it be?
I think that value for money isn't measured in hourly rates. It's measured in an overall experience and an outcome. And I think the number of clients that we're fortunate enough to have come back to us time and again for help demonstrates that we do give excellent outcome-focused service, and that you get attention of whichever partner in our group you choose, because they don't have volume of matters. You get really hands-on, day-to-day access to the partner of your choice. So it's the overall experience. And as I say, we're very happy to be judged on the outcome that we have managed to achieve for our clients.
Cool. Tell me, what do you think makes a great lawyer in today's world? And has this changed in the last decade or so?
Look, I think clients these days are really looking for sectorial expertise. And that, I think, is across anywhere within Herbert Smith Freehills. I mean, we talk a lot about needing to be a sector specialist, be that operating in financial services litigation, be that operating in the energy sector. You know, obviously now we're doing a lot of work in energy transition. So clients really are so sophisticated. They're looking for their legal advisors to have that sectoral expertise. And I think bringing that closer to home in the insurance industry, I think people even are looking for specialisms. I think it's, well, you say what's changed. I think one isn't just an insurance litigator anymore. I think partners will develop real expertise in particular product lines, for example. So, you know, we've got people in our team that have really invested the time to understand, for example, the warranty indemnity insurance product by actually placing that for clients. And then obviously one's in a great position to then, if there's disputes under those types of policies, you know, able to help. Energy, you know, obviously the constructional risks type policies, people have spent decades looking at those types of policies, and then you just develop that real expertise, obviously financial lines. So you see what I mean? I'm saying it's a real understanding of the product, even within the insurance sector, I think is what's really changed now, Barry.
Yeah, I think you're right. When I talk to clients, that seems to be the thing that's most important to them, really understanding the particular segment or the particular product. So that makes sense.
Also, the industry is under constant pressure to innovate. And I think as services to that industry, you know, we've got to keep up pace with that innovation. And when we spend a lot of time just spending time understanding when cyber policies started coming out, just working with clients, you know, on the non-contentious side, placing these policies, because I think unless you actually understand the product, it's very hard to litigate.
Okay. Let's go back to your career, because I want to dig a little bit more into that. Tell me, who have been the greatest influences in your career and why?
I think, to be honest, it's been colleagues. In 30 years, you've worked with just an incredible range of people, and a lot of them have brought different skills, and you learn and you never stop learning. And you get people who've had totally different experiences. As you said earlier on about coming to the law from different routes, we have people coming to the law from different routes who've done other careers beforehand. It's just that willingness to not think at any point that you're the finished article. And funnily enough, I was only talking to a group of young lawyers a few hours ago, and I was saying, you know, when I first started, it was all about files, hard copy files, pieces of paper that were sitting in a placing file. You know, you remember what a placing file used to look like, Barry?
Yeah. You
know, nowadays, you have to be an expert on Recommind and documentary management, and of course AI is coming in. Now look, I'm a complete dinosaur, but you have to be willing to actually learn from nowadays. You know, there's potential partners are going to be partners in HSF who are just fantastic on the tech side, and you have to embrace that. There's no, you can't be just, oh well, just print me off everything from the document management system and I'll read it in a hard copy file over the weekend.
Which is easier to read, an electronic file?
Hard copy every time, Barry. Hard copy every single time. I've never stopped enjoying meeting new people, and as I say, just trying to learn from them and just get better. The day genuinely that you stop learning will be quite a sad day, to be honest.
Yeah. So let's talk about high points or even possibly low points in your career. What can you tell us?
Well, look, I mean, I can't, I suppose, not pick out the FCA test case. Now, I expect some of your audience might not particularly have the same view of that as being a highlight. But look, I'd never worked for the FCA before. But yet, you know, we knew that the industry were talking, and they were talking about how to solve this unique problem of people testing these extensions to their business interruption cover that, frankly, I'd never looked at until May of 2020, Barry, and I doubt you had either. So that's probably over 50 years of experience. I mean, none of us had ever looked at it. And of course, the difference was it was impacting SMEs and people whose livelihood and businesses they spent years developing. You know, understandably, the industry was trying to get to grips with something completely new, all of it in an environment of lockdown. And I think it was a real tribute to the whole industry as to how actually everyone came together. Sure, it was a hard-fought piece of litigation, but actually no one tried to take it off the rails at any point, Barry, and everyone realised that actually getting some form of guidance out there was what we were trying to do. And so that, I'm afraid, will have to remain a highlight. Obviously, personal highlights, becoming a partner was something that, you know, I was the first person in my family that had gone, you know, to university. My parents didn't go to university. And obviously, the idea of actually become a partner in a leading city law firm was something you'd never even considered when you were younger. And so obviously that will never stop being a personal highlight, but also the ability to actually then try and offer some leadership in the group and taking the group to where it is now, working with some amazing people. You know, so it's all sounds a bit trite when it comes out of your mouth, Barry, but unfortunately that happens to be the truth. But yeah, obviously I don't think, well, I know I'll never do anything like that FCA test case again, which was quite extraordinary.
No, and hugely challenging. It was always my mantra that the cover is the cover, but sometimes actually really understanding the cover can be just an extremely difficult thing. But, you know, I sit here now and I can't hear a lot of complaints about how it all worked out. I feel it worked out in a fair and equitable way. And
well, look, as I said, when I repeat, it was very much, I think, a real thing. The industry should be applauded, actually. I mean, we were instructed in May and we were through the Supreme Court by the end of November, which
it's amazing.
You know, as you know, in legal circles, and all that was done for all of the teams in lockdown. So we never even met as a team in person. You know, it was all done on this new fangled computer. No one had ever used Microsoft Teams, or, you know, we started off on Zoom and then we went through to the Teams. And as I say, no one tried to take it off the rails at any stage and worked very hard to get it through to where we got to.
I think it's definitely something to be proud of. So tell me, what are your aspirations for the future? I hear that you're going to effectively change within HSF, but what does that actually mean? What will you be doing for the future? What are your aspirations?
Just carrying on working on the fantastic cases that I've been lucky enough to carry on working on, Barry. I've got a trial in June, which I'm working hard to do. I was supposed to be in an arbitration next week, but that's gone away. But, you know, so it's really just servicing clients, obviously giving support to Alex and the other partners where I can. And, yeah, and obviously, of course, trying to improve the golf handicap, which will be a lifelong challenge, as you well know.
Absolutely. All right. So let's get away from work now and let's talk about what you enjoy doing outside of work most. So tell me, what's that look like?
Well, as you know, fighting a duck hook is what I mainly spend my time trying to.
One-handed chipping, I think, is your speciality.
And perfecting the one-handed chipping. Exactly. Exactly. But no, I mean, seriously, it's a brilliant release from, you know, I go out there every weekend, great bunch of friends. And just getting out in the fresh air, frankly, for 3 or 4 hours is a good discipline. I have 3 amazing children, all of whom at the moment are lucky enough to be fairly close by. So see them, spend time with them as much as they'll give me. They're all grown up now, but try and spend that. So nothing too glamorous, Barry, but just nice, friendly time and seeing people outside of work.
And as we've discovered today, you have a wife who's fantastic with IT.
Well, as you know, she was the only one that actually managed to get this podcast up and running, or else you'd have been talking to yourself, Barry, which I know you're perfectly happily doing. But
here we go.
A Barry Jones monologue will, I'm sure, be released in the future.
I think that would be a fantastic idea. What a great idea. So let's do the quick test. This is one of my favourite parts. This is where you're supposed to try and give me a one-word answer. Okay. Some people fail this test. There are right and wrong answers here. We'll see how you get on. So,
okay. All right.
Watching or participating?
Participating.
So you're not a voyeur?
No. You're not going to get me on that one.
Rugby or football?
You know the answer to that. I'm afraid rugby.
That's all right. That's all right. That's a fence answer. Seve or Tiger?
Tiger.
Oh.
Making the very most of his talent.
amazing goal. Yeah,
and a real, I appreciate he's had ups and downs, but wow, what a person that could not have achieved more with what he had given.
I'm going to frame the next one legally because there's a lot of legal action going on. So WP, Live or PGA stroke European Tour?
I'm not going there. To be honest, I only watch the PGA and the European Tour because I think that's the only thing that's on telly, but I could be wrong. I've not found Live. Anyway, I've not found Live on the telly.
No. So you're going to sit on the fence. Oh, dear.
Definitely.
Okay, TV or radio?
TV.
Cool. BBC or ITV?
BBC.
Correct answer. Meat or veg?
Veg.
Wrong answer. How can
I know that would be the wrong answer. I've hardly eaten meat throughout 2023 and it's been revolutionary. I'm really embracing a non-meat diet.
So that's why you're so grumpy. Okay, next question. Work or holidays?
Oh, holidays.
That is the correct answer. So many insurance leaders I speak to try and pretend that the right answer is work, but we all know it's holidays. So I appreciate your honesty.
We work to live, Barry. We work to live.
Absolutely. Tie or no tie?
No tie.
No tie. I don't know. I'm not sure that's the right answer. I don't know. I'm a bit of an old school. I will find out now how old school you are. 1980s or 2020s? And don't pretend you weren't alive in the 80s.
2020s.
Oh, my God, that's the wrong answer.
I'm sure it would be.
That's so wrong. What was wrong with the 1980s?
I was doing GCSEs that were called O-levels back then and A-levels and school, and it was horrible.
Long hair and whatever, yeah.
No, yeah. No.
Okay, all right, I'll have to accept the answer.
You remember, you know, the lawyers are bookie academics of school life. You know, we weren't the fun kids, so I'd much rather be in the 2020s.
Okay, and finally, Harley or Porsche?
Never aspired to either, to be honest, but Porsche, I suppose, in that I've never ridden a motorbike.
Okay, that will please certain people and upset other people. No names, but if you've listened to any of my earlier podcasts, Martin Clark at Zurich will be very upset with you. Right, so final, and I always ask this question, the audience have got to know you pretty well through this conversation, I hope, but if you'd not become a lawyer, what profession ideally would you have gone into and why?
I'd love to be in funds. When I first started work, my partner who I worked for thought I'd actually was a mathematician rather than a lawyer. So it's quite unusual for lawyers to actually like numbers. But yeah, I probably would have wanted to do something in finance, so in investment funds or something like that.
Not a professional golfer or a surfer or a hill climbing logger.
Professional golfer, far too stressful. Surfer, no. I can't even stand up. So no. Something in the finance world would I'm slightly frustrated not to have been in that sort of world.
It's been great talking to you, Paul. I do wish you every continued success at Herbert Smith Freehills. Been great to have you on today. Thank you so much.
Not at all, Barry. And we'll get that game of golf in soon.
Definitely.